Hello, St. Georgians, near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, on day 30 of our year inside the Bible, walking around the strange world of the Bible, in the book of Leviticus, Leviticus 8, 9, and 10. I better jump in because I have a lot of feelings about this one. 8, 9, and 10. So we talked about yesterday about all the different kinds of offerings for the guilt and the trespass and the this and the that, the Thanksgiving offerings, sacrifice and that kind of thing. Now we're about making priest. How do you make priest? Now, you'll remember that we've already gotten the instructions for making priest back in Exodus. And now we're getting it in the sort of present tense, right? The imperative sense. We got the instructions for doing it before. And now we get the actual thing. We get Aaron and his sons. So look, Aaron and his sons are going to be the Levites. They're going to be the priest forever and ever. Fantastic. So, several chapters worth of instructions for the actual ordination rite. And can I say, as someone who has been ordained, there is a lot that goes into it. It is not the at least the current practice of Christian ordination to holy orders is not quite as bloody as the one that we read about in Leviticus. Anyway, a lot though, right? 7 days it goes on, 8 days it goes on, all this kind of stuff. Fantastic. You got all the laws, you get told what to do, you like symbolically, like the blood gets put on your toe and on your ear, right? Listen to the Lord, do what the Lord says, all this kind of stuff. And boy, oh boy, these guys, these priests, they are the ones who get to go be, you know, in the presence of God, at least, you know, how about this, closer than anyone else, goes to God, represents the people to God, represents God to the people. Wow, what an important, holy, sacred, important responsibility. Oh man, this is really something else. The power to you know, stand for the releasing of sins, all this kind of, oh, fantastic, fantastic. Aaron, his sons, they forever and ever will be the priests of the Lord. And in chapter 10, they are ordained, and Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, remember, they've gotten instruction after instruction after instruction after instruction about how to be a priest of the Lord, how to offer the sacrifices. Nadab and Abihu, and all it says is they kindled a strange fire. The King James says strange fire. I just think it's wonderful. King James also says that King David loved many strange women, which I think is wonderful, having loved some strange women myself. Well, anyway, they kindled a strange fire, and the fire came down out of the altar and consumed them, and they were dead. The sons of Aaron made holy priest. Ordained, you know, moments before, days before, something. New young fellas, at work in the vineyard of the Lord. They kindled a strange fire. They brought a strange offering, right? Strange fire to the Lord. And the fire came off the altar and killed them. Killed them, and their bodies were right there in the sanctuary. Aaron was there. Aaron, their father, Aaron, brother of Moses, was there. And his sons were dead. They kindled a strange fire. And Moses says to Aaron, remember? Lord said this way, not that way, this way. Remember? And the Bible says, and Aaron held his peace. What do you think Aaron had to say? I don't know. A lot of feelings, probably. The Bible doesn't give us a lot of details for this, right? It only tells us, you know, they kindled an unconsecrated fire. They kindled a strange fire. They didn't do the rite in an unconsecrated fire. They didn't offer, they didn't make the offering the way that they were supposed to. And so they were killed. Is that right? Is that the right thing to do? It says something. Look, as a priest of the church. Okay. Let me back up. As a priest of the church, one of the things that we do before we begin each worship service, me and Ray and whoever else is around, we say our prayers of preparation. This is like a piece of paper, mostly taken from the Psalms, and a confession. And we confess our sins before we walk out of the sacristy and into, well, into the sanctuary to go offer the sacrifice. And the reason that we do that is to get right with the Lord before we go lead worship. Because with the priesthood comes a particular kind of responsibility. And compromise of that responsibility results in Leviticus in death. But at least a particular kind of consequence, death or not. And so we say the confidior, we say the confession before we start the worship service. We confess our sins, get right with the Lord, and say, in summary, don't let me kindle a strange fire. Let me kindle the fire that you instructed. Let me not do my own thing. Let me do your thing here. And man, the story of Nadab and Abihu is like a shot across the bow. Well, let's just say it's a shot across the bow for priest first, right? Let's just say, you know, Paul says that you can eat and drink, you can take communion, either to your benefit, or if you eat and drink with an impure heart, to your condemnation. And if you can take communion to your condemnation, how much more to consecrate communion and administer communion to your own condemnation? There's a special responsibility that the sons of Aaron had. And having not fulfilled that responsibility, the strongest consequence was laid upon them. There is a different expectation for the priest here than for the Israelites, than for the rest of the Israelites. There's nothing like this about your everyday Israelite, right? The Judahites don't have a story like this. You know, the Benjamites don't have a story like this. It's only the Levites. It's only the Levites because they have a certain responsibility. They have a certain privilege, the privilege of going to be with God. And so that privilege comes with a risk, comes with a danger. And here in Leviticus, it's shown as like an actual physical danger. Mess around and find out. And they found out. So this is something of what it's like to be a priest. It's a great privilege. And it's also almost paralyzingly scary to do to your own condemnation. By the grace of God, right? All of the clergy, you know, are not consumed by fire when they're at the altar. But it is only by the grace of God. And grace is gratuitous. It's right there in the name. Grace is gratuitous. So there's that. That is something that it's like to be a priest. When St. Paul talks about all the false beliefs in the churches that he's writing to and excoriates them for all their false beliefs, he never excoriates the people. He always excoriates the teachers. It's the teachers who have it. You can't blame somebody who's taught wrong, you know? They were taught. They were the recipients. But the ones who teach wrong, they come in for the greater condemnation, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. I also think about this as a parent, because as a parent, we are priests, teachers for children about the Lord. And we want to make sure that we don't kindle a strange fire, right? We don't apply our own wisdom, but rather teach and model the wisdom of God. That's our responsibility, and it's a sacred responsibility. And only by grace are we able to do it. But parents have that responsibility, that kind of responsibility. I also say all Christian, you know, within Israel, there are the Levites who are the priests. Within the world, Israel is the priest. That's complicated. We'll talk more about that later. But the Lord talks about a kingdom of priests, Israel as a kingdom of priests to the world, who teaches the world who God is, which is exactly what's happened. Israel has taught the world, including us, who God is. The church, as the new Israel, is the priest of the world, teaching the world who God is, the triune God who speaks in Jesus. And it is therefore our job to not kindle a strange fire with the world, whether in the things that we say or in the things that we do. If we misrepresent God to the world, then we're committing that sin of Nadab and Abihu, right? We are teaching wrongly. We've been given the gift of scripture and reason and tradition. We have been given the gift of discernment within the community of God. And so how we administer that, how we share that, it's a big deal. It's a big responsibility. It's a big responsibility. Casual, there's nothing casual about a faithful Christianity, it seems to me. You get sloppy with it, the fire comes down off the altar. Okay. More Leviticus to come. Let us pray. O God, who hast caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The one other thing I wanted to say was, I think it's important that it's only they kindled a strange fire, that we don't get the details of what exactly they did, right? Because then we could say, oh, as long as you don't put the three charcoals on the two charcoals, then you'd be fine. Or, oh, as long as, you know, they're saying, like, make sure you put the blood on the left and blood on the right, but we don't have the blood on the left or the right anymore, so we don't care about that, right? Like, if details were given, then we might think that it's the details that are important. It's only the particular thing. Too bad for Abihu and Nadab, but we don't have to worry about that. And the point is, I think that it's left vague precisely so we know that this is talking about us, that our name is Nadab and Abihu, priest of God. All right, carry on, priest.